Friends with benefits, I guess.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special episode of the 1973 podcast. We're already laughing. We just started recording, and I can't wait to get into some story time with former NHL goalie Steve Passmore. Now, Steve, I want to kind of set the tone with this. We have a buddy that's on the podcast usually when we don't have a guest. He's a huge Blackhawks fan. So when we get to that, we'll talk some Blackhawks. And we'll hopefully get a chuckle out of him that he when he finds out that we had you come on. So let's start all the way back at the beginning. I always start with youth hockey and the love of hockey when you were a kid and the journey to draft day, let's just say.
Fuck. All right, let's go back to the first night my parents had conceived me. Like, we're not going back that far, right? I
Quotes
wasn't.
from
I
Russell
mean,
Street.
technically, I guess I was there, but there's no video back in those days. But
Allegedly.
no, I started playing hockey. So I grew up in a small town called Grand Forks, BC. The hockey hotbed, I guess. I don't think it exactly, but you know what? Small town, 3,500 people. My first coach was my mother. Fucking good hockey player. I started skating at 2 and a half because my grandmother used to, we owned a ranch together. My grandparents, my parents, their kids, everything. It wasn't like a commune or anything like that, like nothing crazy, but the family lived together. So my grandmother used to take me to the, you know, the kids and tots or the tots and moms or skate or whatever. And then from the time I was three, she started putting me in goal and shooting pucks at me. And I mean, rumor has it, she said I liked it, but I think it was more that's when I screwed up and she was mad at me. And she's like, oh, go stand over there and I'm gonna fucking bounce some shit off your head. Right. Because you that way, you know, you were hitting the kid, but not hitting the kids. So yeah, that's what I think happened. But you know what? Small town, great place to grow up and play hockey. Fun fact. So we didn't have tryouts. We just had 15 kids the same age, right? Like tryouts weren't a thing. But you know, like if Bob didn't want to play next year, you had to go talk Bob into it because we needed to field a team. So from that, and here's your lottery odds, is from that. Two kids from Grand Forks from that team that grew up playing together made the show, which I swear to God, I don't know if you play the lottery, but the odds of that happening are less than winning the lottery. So myself and Kevin Sawyer, the high-flying goal scorer that he is, we both ended up making it out of there and making the NHL. And I still talk to Soizy all the time, and that's still one of the things that we giggle about. It's like, can you believe that? Like, I was probably the, I don't know, I'll say probably the fourth most talented, maybe fifth most talented kid on that team. And Kevin might have been the 18th out of 15. But you know, like it's just it's really cool that the two of us made it from there, and we take a lot of pride in that.
So let's talk getting drafted. Going into the draft, 92, the beloved should bring him back, Quebec Nordiques. Just take us through the whole draft thing because it's changed so much. I don't remember where the 92 draft was
Montreal,
located.
Quebec.
Okay, Montreal. Okay. I always
Yeah,
get that
get your
one
shit
confused with the
together.
Hartford one, I think in 94-ish.
So, do you want the whole draft story? Because it's a
Oh,
shit
of
show.
course. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because the 91
So,
draft, the 90 and the 91 draft, that was the Brodeur Yager year, and then the Lindros fiasco the year after.
no, the whole fucking fiasco of the 90 draft of those drafts was the fact that Russia all of a sudden was a place on the map and Europe came in. So my agent, God rest his soul, Art Breeze, convinced me to go to the draft because we had about five teams tell me they were going to take me in the first three rounds. I'd interviewed with a bunch of teams, everything like this. So he convinced me, he's like, you have to go to the draft. I'm like, I'm not going to the goddamn draft. Yes, you have to go to the draft. Okay, fuck you, Art. I'll go to the draft. Right? So I go to the draft. I've got family out east. They go to the draft. So I got my entourage of, mom, dad, my sister, my grandfather was there. So we go there. Night before the draft, I have a meeting with San Jose, their head scout. We sit down with San Jose, everything goes good. Their head scout pulls me aside when we leave the meeting room, and he's like, "Okay, pass. You're our second round pick." I'm like, "Holy fuck, that's cool! Like that's higher than I ever thought I'd even be considered. Never mind." So he's like, "You're our second round pick. Can't wait to see you tomorrow, draft day. Get a good sleep." Sure, get a good sleep. More like go have a beer and celebrate, prematurely. But so draft day comes around, you're in there, everybody's all excited, the agents, the parents, the this, the that. Art's looking at me, he's like, So first round goes by, I'm not expecting to go in the first round, and second round starts, and then San Jose's next. I'm like, all right. But San Jose's pick comes and they pick somebody Everoski. I don't know who the hell he was, right? And I'm like, fuck? Uh-oh. But if you noticed in the first round, all of a sudden it's like Russian guy played six games last year, had 0 goals, 0 assists, seventh overall. What do you mean? And everybody started panicking and they're picking the Europeans just because they're like, I don't want to be the last guy to the trough. So second round goes by. I'm like, shit. Okay, well, maybe they'll pick me in the third round. So third round they come up. Oh, another Russian. Cool. Awesome. That's great. No. So now third round goes by. Fourth round goes by. I'm still sitting there looking at my agent. He's looking at me. He's like, I'm like, fuck you. You made me come to this thing. I could have been sitting in a pub right now. Fourth round, fifth round comes. I'm like, fuck you. So now I'm a little angry. I'm embarrassed. I'm sitting there with my family. My family's like, oh, this is great. I'm like, I might kill all of you. So I remember I'm sitting there and my agent comes up to me and he's like, Steve. I'm like, I wouldn't. I'm like, I fuck off. Like, just don't come near me. So I grab my tin of chew. I'm pissed. I'm just like, I throw in a big lipper and I'm sitting there. It's because it's dinner break after the fifth round because they don't expect anybody to be there that hasn't been taken in the first five rounds, right? It's me and a fucking waitress at this point. So I'm sitting there, I throw in a big chew. Boston comes up and they're like, oh, pass, And I'm like, they're like, we're looking at taking it. I'm like, yeah, fuck, whatever, man. Don't even care at this point. I just want dinner and a beer. Pittsburgh came up, same thing. And so sixth round, seventh round, eighth round. It's now me and a janitor sitting there. Like, this, I think they pulled names out of a hat and it was him and me. And it just happened. They didn't even know I played in goal. Right? Like, so it was super embarrassing. The funny thing is in the summer I met with Quebec. And Quebec's like, hey, we really like you. Like, we think you're good. But we have a shit ton of goalies. Like, we have John Tanner, Stefan Fisse, they had Hexie, Kluche, blah, blah, blah. Like, you name it, they had them. So they're like, if you're still around in the ninth round, we'll take you. Like, they're like, you won't be, but if you are, we'll take. They were the only ones that fucking actually stuck to their guns. I was there in the ninth round. They picked me, right? So you talk about a day that goes from the absolute most embarrassing, worst day of your life. Like, you felt like you were in front of the class sitting there naked going, everybody laughing? Yeah, probably. Right? To the best day of your life in 3 seconds. I don't give a shit that I went in the ninth round. 100 and what was I, 196, I think. If I hockey DB'd myself, right? You go from the worst day of your life to the best day of your life. And well, I got a hat. My grandfather stole the jersey. But I got to go party downtown on Catherine Street with a hat. Nobody knew I went in the ninth round because I was hanging out with Jason Bowen, who went 19th overall, I think 19th overall. Well, he pulled me on into all the bars like I was a first rounder too, and we had a fucking blast that night. So
That's a great street
the
to have a
draft was
draft.
weird. It was, I think I had a very different experience than most. And I found out the next day that San Jose, can't remember who the GM was because he got fired 2 days. I think 2 days later he got fired because he literally took the draft list and went, fuck! And he panicked and he just drafted all Europeans. So there's my fun draft story.
So before we leave the draft, I got to ask you, who did you interview with going into it? You said that there were like four teams that were interested. Who were the teams?
Boston, Pitt, San Jose, Quebec. I didn't even talk to at the draft. They were just kind of like, yeah, you're still kicking around. Sure. And I think Philly. But I mean, all those fun interviews where you're a young kid sitting at the end and there's all these guys going, grumpy, and why should I pick you? I don't know. You watched me all year. It's not coming down to what I say now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, even the whole draft situation now has changed so much since even then.
Oh, Vancouver. That was, fuck, that was the funny one. So, Vancouver. Yeah, I'm going to tell some stories.
Yes.
So Glenn Hanlon was their goaltending scout, right? So Glenn Hanlon earlier in the summer had was fishing outside of Nanaimo. I was in Victoria, and my business partner, well, soon to business partner down the road, whatever guy I used to work with at the Keg was running the Keg in Nanaimo. Hanlon was in there. They were talking hockey and whatever. Hanlon was like, I want to meet this Passmore kid. He was shittered. And he, so my buddy calls me. He's like, Hanlon wants to meet you. Can you come up tomorrow? I'm like, yep, absolutely. So he's like, okay, come. He's like, I arranged an interview, like an interview for you. So I'm like, holy shit, cool. So I drive up to Nanaimo and I'm a young kid. I got $13 worth of gas money to get up there in the 1978 Civic, right? So I go up there. And I'm supposed to meet Hanlon at the Keg. Well, Hanlon didn't remember. He was shittered. He no-shows me. So he just no-shows me at the Keg. Now I'm in Nanaimo. I barely have enough gas to get home. I don't have money to for dinner. So, or a place to stay. So my buddy ends up, or buddy at the time ends up hooking me up with dinner, everything like this. That takes care of the bar tab, everything. I don't see Hanlon until the draft. He invites me. He's like, "Ah, come up. We'll interview in my room." And a little sketchy now. I don't do that now. But so go up there, interviews, and I go in. We're shooting the shit and handshake, and then there's a knock at the door, and it's a six pack of beer getting delivered by room service. He's like, "Want one?" I'm like, "Pretty sure that led to the last time that," because I actually told him that he stood me up. He's like, "Fuck, sorry." He's like, I don't remember. I'm like, I was pretty sure you didn't. But he ordered, but I had a six pack. We sat and drank beer while we did our interview at the draft. That was the most fun one at the draft.
That's definitely a personality that somebody hasn't brought up yet is Glenn Hanlon
There
on
you
the
go. Sure.
fantastic. So let's talk Quebec. Let's talk the Nordiques and what they were, because a lot of people don't even remember them as a franchise. So initial thoughts with Quebec when they take you, and how did the process go from there after the draft?
I mean, it was great. They were very upfront in the fact that they're like, you don't even, you're not even on our radar, right? But they gave me a contract offer. I actually signed my entry level deal there. Well, back then it wasn't entry level. I got a wicked signing bonus for a ninth rounder. Better than actually back in the day. It was funny. My agent must have done something right, or he had pictures of somebody. I don't know, but I mean, for a ninth, I got a $75,000 signing bonus, which back in those days was, it was no ninth round signing bonus, I'll tell you that. So yeah, I signed with them. I went to camp there. Camp was good. I mean, then I went down. Yeah, camp was fine. Whatever. First year, go back. Second year, my 20-year-old year. I was gonna go back. They sent me down to Cornwall. Was their Cornwall Aces
Yep.
was their farm team, and I get sent down there, and I'm one of eight. No, yeah, one of eight goalies under contract. And I'm one of the only ones that's junior age to head back, right? So I remember they called me in and they're like, yeah, we're sending you back to junior. And Kamloops, I was coming back to Kamloops, who I knew we had a great team. We had a chance to win it all. I remember having a conversation with the GM, Bob Brown, and I'm like, I don't know. I can't afford to come back. You know, I could go to the East Coast. I couldn't go to the East Coast League. They weren't giving me the opportunity, but I was just trying to bullshit and negotiate a contract better with going back to junior, which wasn't really a thing back there, but I tried to play some cards and kind of get a couple freebies here and there. But I knew I was going back to a good team. So I got sent back to Kamloops. And then during that time, I think at the trade deadline, I think that was the year. I think I got traded to Edmonton for Brad Wawrinka,
So listen,
another guy they were trying to get rid of. They didn't give a shit. So
I gotta ask you a couple of questions about that Nordiques roster. When you went to camp for that short time, I know they weren't a playoff juggernaut at that time, but Owen Nolan, Forsberg, Sakic, all the goalies that you mentioned, I think they,
Kluche, Hextall, Fassett, John Tanner,
got
Jocelyn
snow.
Thibault, Manny Fernandez, me. you could tell why I was down the list there. The best part is though, Manny Fernandez got taken in the third round. I got taken in the ninth. Beat the fucker in the Memorial Cup final to win though.
Nice.
I win.
If we ever have Manny on the show, we'll bring that up.
Oh,
We'll
rub it
just
in. Tell, I mean, he had a way better career than I did, but he never won the Memorial Cup, as far as I know. I
This is
think I got
true.
him there.
Yeah. So
And I beat him in the finals, too. It was even better.
thoughts of the trade to Edmonton. Did it come out of nowhere? It just was unexpected and
Oh, man, that was one of those ones that, you know, every trade deadline you go through and it's like, this deal, look at this deal, big deal, big deal, big deal. And then you get down to the bottom and you're like, I don't know, they paper shuffled two fucking guys that nobody wanted, nobody cared. The only cool thing was for me is that I did go to Edmonton, and I really enjoyed Edmonton. Like I did, cheap as shit organization, but at the time, not anymore. But I got called up my first year to back up Freddie Brathwaite, actually, in the game that Gretzky game before Gretzky had broke the record in Vancouver, and then we played the next night. So I got to sit my first game, and this was my coolest memory ever. Second period, I'm on the bench, obviously, thank God, not playing, and I look out, and there's Gretzky, Curry, Huddy McSorley, and Rudy Annette. And I remember literally looking out on my jersey, being like, "I'm getting fucking paid to be here. Like this is cool." It was so surreal and so awesome. Yeah, I just backed up, but one of the funniest things that came out of that day. So Slats was the coach at that time. Games 3-3, heading to overtime. And it's my first time in an NHL dressing room. Like I'm still in shock that I'm there. And I remember Slats turns around. He's like, "Pass, get in there." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Ah, just fucking with you." That wasn't funny. I think I just literally shit myself. He's like, ah, just fucking with you. So that was my introduction.
Tommy Salo on that team, right? On that end.
Then would have been Tommy Salo then? No. No,
Cujo.
it would have been Grant, or it would have been Ranford. And probably Road Bobby, Bob Asenza.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because, yeah, Tommy Salo wasn't there yet.
All right.
No, because Tommy Salo was the reason I got sent down later.
Oh, okay. Sorry to bring that up so
It's
soon.
whatever. Kick me.
We'll pay Manny Fernandez back for you. We'll pay it forward. So
Perfect.
the time in Edmonton. Thoughts on anybody that stands out? Good stories from that time?
Well, I mean, I went through a tough start. I don't know how much history you've done on me, but I had heavy metal poisoning. So my first 2 years in Edmonton were not stellar. My first 2 years pro, I ended up being a lab rat, trying to figure out what the fuck was wrong with me because I had severe muscle cramping. Edmonton ended up telling me to retire at 23. They're just like, we don't know what's wrong with you. We've tried, but you keep cramping up. You should retire. I ended up having to, I failed the physical because I cramped up during the physical, not because I was fat. But I just cramped up and I couldn't do the bike. And then, they told me to retire. I had a doctor out of Calgary actually called me out of the blue and he's like, I can fix you. I'll give me 6 months. And I'm like, well, you got three because I got to do my fitness testing again to see if I'm not getting paid right now. And I'm like, I get to do my fitness testing January 4th. And he's like, all right. So I moved to Calgary. I lived on my uncle's couch. I bartended and bounced at two shitty divey places because I'm not getting paid in the NHL anymore or minors or anything. So I worked at Glenn's Pleasure Bar on 17th. Nope, it was not a strip club. I promise. It was just a shitty name. And I worked at in a place called Forest Lawn at a place called the County Line. And at 5'9", 175 pounds, not an intimidating bouncer. Not when you're looking at two really shitty bars. But good news is I had a good mouth on me. So I could Jedi mind trick my way out of something. Because when a guy at 5'9" comes up to you and you're much bigger and he goes, hey man, I'm gonna kick the fuck out of you. You think either this guy's crazy or he actually really is tough. So that worked. But yeah, not the place you want to be my size. So I moved there. This doctor actually gave me chelation. It ended up taking care of the heavy metal, and the rest was history from there. I went back on January 4th. I passed my fitness test. And I remember the trainer going, yeah, but can you play? Like, I don't give a shit, man. I get paid now. So I don't know if I can play because I've been working from 10 in the morning till 3 in the morning, 31 days in a row. I haven't been near the ice. I don't know if I could play. I don't even know if I could skate anymore. But I get paid now. So pay me. And that was my way back.
Did they ever figure out what you got the heavy metal poisoning from, or?
Yeah, the farm that I grew up in, we got our water from a creek. Yeah, we're hillbilly as shit. We got our water from a creek, and the headwaters of that creek ran through an old mine site. We thought it was great water, but that's kind of where they figure it came from, was that the mine leaching into the water. And so it just, because I was a kid growing up there, my body just absorbed it like a sponge. And I had a really good immune system. This is talking to the doctors and the quacks and the crazies. I had a really good immune system, but then in junior ed, my second to last year when I was 19, I got mono, and that knocked my immune system down, and that's when the muscle cramping actually started happening. and it just got progressively worse.
Tom, before I ask any more questions with Steve, do you have one?
Yeah, or, growing up, what goaltender did you look up to or did you model your game after?
I know I'm number 29. You tell me.
Ken Dryden.
Fuck yeah, that's one. Who's the other one?
Well, it's not Phil Kvartman.
No. Although it would be.
I
I loved him. I thought he was awesome. But he
did
was
too.
Toronto. He was a Toronto Maple Leaf, though.
Pamatia. Great mask on Pamatia.
So that was
Fantastic.
those are the two. So I'm also born on January 29th, but those were the two. It was Palmateer and Dryden were the two.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. That
And
those
I
two.
mean, playing Marty Brodeur was number one in my eyes. I got to play against him. And funny story. So stretching before the game, we're in Jersey. He's playing, I'm playing. My team's still drunk from the night before in New York, and we're stretching. And I'm like, he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, you're the coolest guy I've ever seen. You're my idol. I'm not gonna tell you that, but and so we're stretching and we're shooting the shit, and I'm like, hey, can I get a autograph stick? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna lie to you, Matt. No kid's dying of cancer. I'm not giving it to charity. I'm like, it's for me. He's like, yeah, I'll have the trainer send it down to you. So
Did you get
we lost 4-1, but I got a stick out of it.
Nice. There you go. I thought you were going to get burnt for the stick. That would have been a story too.
No. It's just one of my D-men that didn't make it home the night before. So first face off, puck drops. We're in Jersey. I'm the backup playing because we know we're going to get shit kicked. And puck drops. They go down. He pizzas it right up the middle. They come down on a breakaway score. We're like, I don't know, 28 seconds in. He just comes back. He says, Hussy, sorry. And he goes to the, might have been Russian, heads to the bench. I'm like, all right, good start to the game.
So, any fun, memorable stories up until this point, Steve, with like any for people that don't know, when we were talking to Brian Propp, he talked about a little rookie hazing here and there. Did you go through any of that stuff?
More in junior. I mean, junior is brutal. But I do remember my first game that I'm actually starting. So I'd had a good year in the minors. Everything's going well. Edmonton had Bob Asenza and Mikhail Stalenkov
Oh, yep.
as goalies. This is right before they traded for Salo and kicked me out. But so I'd been playing well. I get called up because those two aren't playing very well. Basically, it's two backups competing for who plays. So I'm out there. I'm the third guy. Pre-game skate. I'm staying on. I'm the third string backup. So my job is to just be a shooter tutor and stay until everybody's off the ice. And our assistant coach comes up. He's like, Pass, do you normally take this many shots on pre-game skate? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm the piece of shit backup. That's my job. He's like, I think you're starting tonight. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm out. I don't want any more. I apparently was starting that night. Nobody wanted to tell me. So I go in, change with it. So come back to the game and we're getting dressed and I'm nervous as shit, and I don't get nervous. I'm not a nervous person, but it's your first game. And I remember I think it was Bobby was backing us up and he's like, do you want any ideas? And he's like, watch this Solani guy. He's apparently pretty good. And this Korea guy, he's okay. And I'm getting dressed and I'm tying up my skates and Dougie Waite was literally like diagonal all the way across the room. Dougie Waite was our captain. And he's like, pass. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, is this your first game? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh fuck, whatever you do. He goes, don't shit the bed tonight. Like, thanks, waiter. That's awesome. Thank you. And that's exactly. So then I played the game. I actually played well. We lost 2-1, but I got first star on Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. And then so we come after the game and Waiter comes up and he's like, "Pass, I'm so sorry." He's like, "My first game, my captain said that to me." And he's like, "I've done it ever since. It's just a way to break the ice." I'm like, "Good way to break the ice for sure. It was, but yeah, it was good humor."
Tom, you got another question for Steve?
Sure.
Did you write these down, fucker?
Sure. I've got a whole
What?
paper here.
Hockey journalist, sir.
What drew you to the goaltending position?
If I was being 100% honest, it's probably because I kind of like to be in the spotlight. It's either you're either the hero or the bum, man. Like you're either gonna go out on top or you're gonna get kicked to the bottom. Like it's your fault either way. And I really liked it. It was I played out and in my whole like growing up, and I remember at I think 9 or 10, I told my mom I wanted to be a full-time goalie. She's like, "Not till you prove you're the best skater on the team." I'm like, "All right, fucking challenge accepted." So by the end of the season, I was the best skater on the team, and I'm like, "Playing goal next year." She's like, "Fair." So it just, but I did. I like the pressure. I like the spotlight. And I really, really just wanted to figure out if we won, it was because of me. If we lost, it was probably because of me.
Ed, question for Steve.
So who had the hardest shot that you ever took?
Well, I played against Al MacInnis. He could shoot the puck. Joe Sakic was different. He just had a wicked release. Same with Mark Recchi. Insane release. Tony Amonte actually had a pretty good bomb. And he liked to go like right underneath the crossbar, which when you're as short as I am, is right around the collarbone. So practices were always fun. Rob Blake had a bomb. Yeah, probably MacInnis.
Steve from Edmonton, take us to the next stage from leaving Edmonton via the trade or free agency.
Free agency signing. Well, that was a cock off between myself and Glenn Sather. So I, as I said before, I got called up. Those goalies were playing like shit. I was on fire in the minors, which is a very different thing, but get called up and I was actually playing well. So we're in Buffalo. It's the third game since, or it's my third start that I'm gonna get. I know I'm starting in Buffalo, and Slats comes in after in what was it pregame skate, and he comes into the dressing room. He's like, "We got to get a contract done." I'm like, "Yep, I'm still not that comfortable playing hockey up here right now. So yep, fucking call my agent." But he corners me in this little stick room in Buffalo, and he's like, "We got to get a contract done." Cool. Here's my agent's number. Call him. That's kind of his job, not mine. I'm like, "I got to play tonight." He's like, "Well, I'm not fucking letting what happened to Cujo happen to you." I'm like, "Did you just mention me and Cujo in the same sentence? Because we're not." I appreciate it, but no, we're not the same thing. So I played that night. I got my first win. We go to Pittsburgh the next day, and he'd made me a contract offer. It was fucking terrible. And so Slats calls and he wants a meeting with me in Pittsburgh, and he's up in his penthouse chewing on his goddamn cigar, and he's like, comes in, he's in his big wingback chair, and he's got his paper out, and he's like, "Have a seat." I'm like, "All right." So I sit down, and he's got the sports page open, and he's like, "Who the fuck's gonna need you?" He goes, "This team, they don't need you. This team, they don't need you. They don't need you. They don't need you." He's like, so he goes on for about a 10-minute spiel about how fucking bad I am. And, you're too small. You're bad with your rebounds, blah, 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 blah. You've spent your first 4 years, 4.5 years in the minors. All this shit goes on, goes on, goes on. He's like, "If you don't, you got to sign this contract. You got to sign this contract. If you don't sign this contract, I'm gonna send you back to the minors so fast your head'll spin." And so I just sat there and I'm like listening, and he gets done. And I, he's I'm like, can I go? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, if I'm that fucking bad, why do you want to sign me? I'm like, you just told me how shitty I was for the last 10 minutes. Even if you made some good points, maybe you shouldn't sign me. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I just listened to you for 10 minutes telling me what a piece of shit I was, and nobody needs me out in the league. And I'm like, I'm not signing that contract. And I said, you can send me back to the minors. They said, as you said, I'm pretty comfortable there. So do what you got to do, but I ain't signing it. So I walked out, and I ended up, I called Low Tide. He was our coach at the time. And I'm like, Low Tide, what are my travel plans? He's like, what? What do you mean? What are your travel plans? I'm like, well, Slot said if I didn't sign the contract, I'm going back down to the minors. So I just want to know what my travel plans are. And I was actually playing really well at the time. He's like, you're not fucking going anywhere. He's like, just I'll handle it. So I stayed up for three more games, and then they traded for Tommy Salo, and he sent me to the minors as promised. But you know what? But then we went down there. We had a great team. We went to the finals of the Calder Cup. We lost, but we went to the finals. And the net Lauren Mullican was our coach, and years before that, and yeah, he had a contract offer from Chicago for a 3-year contract on my desk July 1, and that's how I went to Chicago.
Tom, question for Steve.
Sure. Did you have a goalie coach that you think impacted your career more than others?
Is this a setup? Have you watched some other shit that I've talked about?
No, actually, no.
Do you want to know the worst goalie coach I've ever had in my life?
Sure.
What's that?
Love to.
Sure.
Okay. So you might know his name, Trechak.
Oh, yep.
The worst goalie coach ever, 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 ever. He. For two reasons, or a couple reasons. Well, there's probably lots. For one, irrelevant as shit. He was our goalie coach in Chicago. They hired him for name only. He was irrelevant. Like, we're talking a guy that still did skate saves and stand-up goalie. Like, nope, that's not a thing. We did the same drill every single day, which did not help at all. Like, he was. It was just irrelevant. It would be like me trying to go and be a goalie coach now. The games passed me by. I'm not teaching these young kids what to do. I don't know what an inverted V is or whatever they do now. Like, I just, it's not. So he was our goalie coach. He hated being there. He just wanted, I swear, he just wanted to come party for 2 weeks from Russia and hang out. He would sit with a stick like this all practice. And just sit there on the boards and just watch. And it was so fun because we're sitting there one day, I'm starting, and we just done goalie drills, which were nothing. And he sit there and he's like, Tebow, because it was me and Jocelyn Tebow. He was like, Tebow, okay, goalie. Tebow, okay. Looks at me, he's like, you bad goalie. I'm starting today. Thanks, coach. Fucking good luck. But he was hilarious. Like, all he wanted to talk about was him, how good he was, and how the only reason that he got pulled in 72 was because him and Tikhonov had a power struggle. And Russia, Tikhonov, big deal, big deal. Vladdy, very big deal in Russia. So Tikhonov, me, we know like this, but Vladdy, really big deal. Tikhonov did not like that. So Tikhonov pulled me in the game, should kept me in. Tikhonov pulled me from the game, make Vladdy look bad. And that was my worst goalie coach ever. I don't know if I really ever had a good one. That was
Ed,
my Russian accent pretty good.
I
I
got
thought it
it
was
pretty
pretty
good,
good,
yeah.
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 Fantastic.
Bang on, bang on.
Yeah.
No,
Ed.
but it was funny. I mean, Vladdy. Whatever. The great name, one of the best goalies ever to play the game. Don't get me wrong. Goalie coach, fuck no.
Ed Belfour loves him, right?
Yeah, you know, all he had Eddie do was push a net down the ice. He didn't work on shit. Maybe they went out drinking together. I don't know.
Most likely, I would say.
See, you get the little references.
Yeah.
$1 million.
We heard a story from Stewie. That he
Ed.
talked to Eddie on the ice about that. Steve, who's your favorite roommate out on the road? Just somebody that just made you laugh the whole time.
Well, who was it? What was his fucking name? In the minors, Mark LaForge. Forgey. So, I don't, do you know Mark LaForge?
No.
Smartest fucking man on the earth. Smartest man on the earth. Like we're talking Mensa smart. He was a tough guy. But you know those tough guys, so a lot of tough guys, there, you know, I mean, there's smart tough guys. Look at Stewie Grimson, stuff like that. There's some guys that are just dumb tough. Forgy was just a hair off normal. And he was just crazy tough. Like just because there wasn't almost psychopath tough. Like he just look at we're sitting in the minor, we're playing in Cape Breton. Kid would come up and challenge, like, Forgy, you want to go? He just looked and you could see him looking. And he's like, he just cross-checked the kid in the teeth and be like, nope, I don't want to fight. Be like, you can't. All right, fucking 5 days suspension. There you go. But he was so smart. You would watch him interview. Oh my God, one of the funniest, smartest men ever that would just toy with the reporters so badly. But I remember we're rooming together, we're on the road, and he had a habit of not always heading to the bathroom, and sleepwalking. I had a habit of being a 5'9" goalie that didn't want to upset the tough guy that you just roomed with. So I remember we're sitting there and Porgy gets up in the middle of the night and stumbles over to the corner, and he's in the corner of the room and he's about to start taking a piss. And I'm like, Forgy, Forgy. He's like, what are you doing, man? It's like the first time I've roomed with him. He's like, and take a piss. I'm like, maybe move your suit bag. Just a suggestion. I'm not you, but move your suit bag. All right. That's when I found out he sweet walked pissed. I don't know what it was, but he was awesome. Like he was one of the funniest men I've probably one of the most quick-witted men I've ever met. So he was good. He'd probably be my top for fun.
Cool. Steve, favorite memories of the time you spent in Chicago?
We sucked. Like, my favorite time was probably every single time we went and played in Detroit. I knew I was getting the start guaranteed. I think I played in Detroit 9 times. I think 8 times. You can go back and fact check me if you want, but I think I played there 8 times with Chicago and I never lost in Joe Louis. Like that was, it would, I would go in there and we would get shell shocked and I would stand on my head and it'd be like a 2-2 tie. We got outshot like 42-20. The only time I did lose there was we lost in overtime when I got traded to LA for my little cup of coffee there. And we played in Detroit and we lost, but it was just a given. We're playing in Detroit. T would like Tebow would look at me. He's like, "That's on you, Jack. Good luck." Like, all right, this is you. I get the night off. I know it. Yeah, that was a lot of fun for me. I took a lot of pride in that. I
The
didn't win many games, so.
roster at the time, they had Amani, right? At the time, Daze, those guys.
Yep.
They seemed to be like
Zamboff.
kind of potty guys at the time, right?
Well, kind of. We had a no. The fucking year that really fucked things up is when they got Theo Fleury. That was a huge mistake by management there, because so they brought Theo in and they didn't tell us shit. Like we didn't know what's a lot. We didn't know anything. We knew that he was in the program, but I mean, we had Proby that was in the program too, or whatever that's called. And but then they brought in Theo and mysteriously went missing for 2 days in training camp, with no explanation. They come back. The management doesn't say anything to us, right? I remember we're in Detroit, and Steve Sullivan and I, after the game, decide we're going to go play some blackjack and sit and have a couple beers and play blackjack. And Fleury walks by us with like four beers in his hand, like this. And we're like, is that a lot? We don't know. I mean, he's a grown ass man, so am I. And we're like, I don't know if that's allowed or not. Then there's hooping and hollering, and he's winning, and we're seeing some hanger-oners coming around, and our dealer's like, your buddy's doing well. He's up like 30 grand. And we're like, fuck me, this is not gonna be good. Because you're getting people hanging around that are probably just there for the wrong reason. And so Sully and I go over to him. We're like, Theo, like, we're gonna head back. We're gonna grab a slice and head back to the room. And do you want to come with us? Like, not that Sully and I are exactly good bouncers, but between the three of us, it looked like the three musketeers. Like, we were all short. So, but we're like, safety in numbers. I don't know. Want to come back? You're doing well. Let's cash out. And he's like, guys, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm okay. I'm good. We're like, yeah, because eight beers deep, good decisions usually happen. And we left, and the next day we get a team meeting, and you fucking guys, you got to look out for your teammates and all of this, and you left each other hanging. We're like, I'm not dragging the guy by his ear. And then so that started the casino ban for the Chicago Blackhawks at that time. No more casinos. And we're like, so that, like, that was the bad time. That was the party animal that was in the program. But yeah, it's, there was, we had it, we sucked, man. We were the best minor league team playing in the NHL. I still think to this day, I deserve a ring right here, because we were so bad. They got Kane, they got Taves, they got Seabrook, they got Duncan Keith. If I wasn't so bad, they would not have those cups. So I think I deserve, like, I don't know, maybe it's a little smaller ring, like maybe a little lady ring or something. I don't know, but I think I should get one.
Well, you're on record saying it now, Steve, so it's got to happen.
Right? I told him, I'm like, you're welcome.
Tom, next question for Steve.
Yeah, who do you think was the most underrated player you played with?
Me.
Okay.
No. I think it was under, my mom says I'm really good. Oh, even she knows better than that. She knows hockey better. Most underrated player. I don't know. I'll tell you the one that pissed me off the most, was Scott Fraser. I don't even know if you know that name. Played in the minors. He had more talent in his shit than I have in my body. We'd play in the, this is a man that fucking hated hockey. Hated coming to the rink, hated hockey, hated everything about it. Just happened to have so much God-given goal scoring talent. Like, you put that guy within 10 feet of the net, it will be in. Couldn't skate. Were the sh like just a pure Phil Kessel finisher, like just finish, and hated the game. And I remember we're playing in Hamilton together, and it's almost annoying. Like, I love hockey, and I love the rink, and I probably love the dressing room more than anything. You're just hanging out with the boys, and right, like, that's the fun part, chirping each other and cutting people down, and sarcasm might run in, my lingo. But he hated it, and I could never understand it. I'm like, you have so much to, I would just give me some, just some, maybe a little size too, but just some talent. And he's like, Pass, I want to make $2 million in this game, and you'll never fucking see me again. I will quit. So that year, he gets called up to Edmonton for 20 games. End of the season, 20 games, scores 11 goals in 20 games. He wasn't on the first line. Right? He just finished. Signs a 3-year, $3.1 million contract with New York Rangers, right? That's back when they were just tossing money at, I don't know, cab drivers and shit. Like, it was just like, sure, you want a jersey and $1 million here. So 3.1 million, 3 year deal. He goes, I think he played half the first year, and then they're like, oh, you're a piece of shit. Like, you don't want to work. Nope. Bought him out the next year. Peace out. Dealer has nothing on his hands. I'm out. Got his $2 million and he's fucking done. That was probably one of the most annoying ones I played with because I'm like, you had everything. You could have been making $5 million a year because you had the time. Like, he had that gift, but he hated the game.
Ed, question for Steve.
So, Steve, what was your offseason like as far as training wise and get yourself into keep yourself in shape, get yourself into shape, that type of thing. Talking to some of the older players that we've spoken to, they talked about that how they went to training camp to get into shape. And when you played, that's more of like you kind of came to camp in shape.
I was a crossover, right? But I'm still a fucking goalie. So, shape, like rounds are still a shape. But I was that crossover where you train to not hurt the day, because day one of the is the fitness testing, right? So I remember my first training camp with Quebec. I worked my ass off that summer. Like, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I'm biking. I'm trying to put on weight. I put on a shit ton of weight that summer. I felt good. Like, I was like, I'm ready for camp. And I remember that first day, and that VO2 test that they do. And a lot of that is genetic, I know now, but VO2 tests, so if you got, like the high, like mid 60s and stuff, you're good. 50, you're a piece of shit. So I worked my ass off, and I did. I was at about 8% body fat, 172 pounds, I think, at the time. I was jacked for short kid. And I did the VO2 test. I got a 50. Sorry, no, I got a 50.5. And they're like, well, did you just sit on the couch and eat bonbons all summer? Like, what the fuck did you do? And I was like, I worked my balls off. Like, holy shit. So I was like literally the bottom of the fitness testing. And we had Todd Warner, who was high draft pick, whatever, could not tell you where the gym in his hometown was, probably drank a case of beer and smoked a pack of smokes a day. Didn't even know what a weight was, couldn't even spell weight, right? But he goes in and he gets a 63 VO2. And they're like, that's Olympic level. And I'm just like, you motherfucker. I'm like, I know how hard I worked. And I know you can lie to a lot of people, you can't lie to yourself, right? And I'm like, no, I worked my bag off and I got a 50.5. They think I sat on my couch and was a couch potato. So the next year, I'm like, I'll fucking show you, stupid. But I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing shit. Right? Because that's going to really help. I mean, I lifted, but I didn't do the bike. I didn't do anything. I got a 50. There was no difference. It didn't matter what I did. And my score was the same. But that was just my first 2 years. That was the VO2. That's my rant against VO2. But no, you know what? I built a gym in my basement. I hated going to the gym and I hated doing the time and I hated cardio. So I would roll out of my bed, roll onto the bike. I'd get my cardio done. I lived on a golf course. So I could then, if somebody called and said they had a tee time, I could do that. But then I could go back and lift. So I was always. Edmonton wanted you under 10%. I was always under 10% body fat. I was always in shape. It was just my VO2 sucked. Like, that was just my what is that one where they dropped the hammer, where they like my power was good. Everything, it was just my VO2 sucked every year, and I just gave up on that. But I was always in shape. We were that crossover, right? Where you didn't go there to get in shape.
Steve, I got to ask you the transition from Chicago to LA and then into retirement after hockey. How did that kind of come
was a few
to?
years after that,
No,
fucker.
I'm just setting it
So, do
up.
you know why I do you know why I went to LA?
I don't. That's why I'm asking, Steve.
Tom, do you know why I went to LA?
No, I don't.
All right, not much of a journalist.
Nope.
So I went from, so that was the expansion year, right? Minnesota came in,
Yep,
Tampa came
the
in.
Wild. Yep.
Or yeah, so the deal was both teams said that they wanted to take me because I was a decent backup and I might be something good for an expansion team. But the deal was there was you could protect so many players and you had to keep it, so many players open, yada yada yada. So LA wanted to keep Jamie Storr, we are not sure why, and Stefan Fiset, right? So, but in order to do that, you needed a goalie that had enough experience and enough games to leave unprotected. So Chicago is supposed to be just a paper trade. Chicago trades me to LA for the expansion draft because they know they're going to lose me in the expansion draft if they don't. LA had then made a deal, I think with Tampa, right? Tampa, that was Tampa and Minnesota came in at the same time.
Yep.
Yes. So they'd made a deal with Tampa to take Jason Podolin because they thought he could score and they didn't know Pods couldn't. And they, so they protect. So the idea was they would keep me protected from getting taken and then just trade me back to Chicago. So it was literally supposed to be just a paper shuffle. So they paper shuffle me over, they hide me in the draft. And then Fassett blows his knee out. And they're like, "Woo, time out. We might need him now." So they held on to me for like 4 months while Fassett got back playing, and then they traded me back to Chicago. And then it was the lockout. I had to get my knee or my hip reconstructed. Then the lockout hit, and then instead of staying out, I went over to Germany for the year. Blew my knee out. Which was awesome because Cristobal Huey happened to be practicing with us. So I blow my knee out. They sign Huey. Now Huey and I are a 1A and a 1B, which Huey's a great guy. Like we got along awesome. But then I had a hard time finding a job back in North America. I signed in Phoenix. They weren't exactly truthful with what they were doing. So then I went back over to Europe and I played my last couple of years in Europe. Loved it over there. It was great. It was a great experience. But I mean, all in all, I ended a 14-year pro career, which was probably about 14 years longer than anybody thought I was going to have. So it was cool, man.
So I gotta ask you, wildest locker room road story or being on the road story, your favorite one that you can talk about now?
Okay, favorite. I don't know about favorite. So I'm not much of a party guy. I, you know, like I'm really not. Like I'm not a bar guy. I'll sit in a pub with you all day long, and I'll drink you under the table. But I'm not really a nightclub go out guy. And I was by the time I got to the NHL, I was married. I'm not looking for anything. So I'm not going out partying. But funniest locker room one was Karpatsev. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Potsy blew his knee out on the shitter. No, legit. This is not a this is not a joke. So we're in the dressing room in Chicago. Potsy goes to take a dump, and all of a sudden, from the shitter, we hear this "Gapper, Gapper," which was our trainer's name. He says, "Get in here!" So he goes in. He had turned to go get toilet paper, and he popped his knee out. So he literally blew his knee out while taking a shit in the dressing room, and was out fucking 4 weeks.
That's a lower body injury.
Oh, it was hilarious. We're like, did you? And then I don't know if you know anything about the Russians back in those days, but the teams really didn't want to piss him off. So Potsy, being a very offensive defenseman, kind of a body like a bag of milk, like not right, like very like big Russian body, but I ain't working out, dude. Like it's not happening. So I remember, and he's like, all the wrestling guys, when you get injured, like you're gonna get bag skated, you're gonna get this. And he's like, I'd be back Wednesday. It's like, I will not skate, I will not do shit. I'll play Wednesday. And sure enough, they're like, all right, Wednesday, cool. And they put him in the lineup. That was it. It's like, I guess you're playing. Well, another Russian story, but so I won't name who it was, but they had a new baby, and we'd gone out for a couple beers after the game, and there was a regular place where, and him and his wife show up. And that baby was pretty young. And we're like, did you get a sitter? No, we had pillows. Who the fuck is pillows? No, we had pillows. What do you mean? No, the baby on the bed, and pillows around bed, pillows, baby can't move.
Wow.
Child
Jeez.
services? Hi. Yeah, no. We're just, and all the normal, we're just like, so the wives are like, no, that you can't do that. We gotta go check on that. That shouldn't happen. Cultural
Tom,
difference.
we're gonna give Steve one more round of questions before we let him go. So, final question for Steve from you. All right, my last question. If you had to build the perfect goalie other than yourself, what traits are you looking for and who would you take them from?
Oh, I'd build me 6'7". How these guys do not get hit by the puck? Are you kidding me? I defended the same net at 5'9". They're 6'7". They don't get hit every time. I'm embarrassed for them. Like it's terrible. I don't get it. How would I build them? Probably a grizzly bear's torso, like polar bear's leg. No. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the style now. I'd build Marty Brodeur, but fucking probably a little bit taller. Like honestly, because it was still back in the day, and I don't know if it's relevant because the sticks nowadays, like I play fat guy hockey and I have a fantastic shot, but it's all the stick, right? It's very different, but I equate it to the difference. So when Synergies came out when I was playing, and all of a sudden Bob Probert has a fucking 85 mile an hour snapshot. You used to have to watch out for five guys per team, and all of a sudden the fourth liner has a bomb. So very different. The one thing I love about hockey is I think it's one of the only sports you can't compare era to era. Wayne Gretzky would not make a fucking hockey team nowadays, never mind be one of the top guys ever to play. He wouldn't make the team because he just wouldn't. He can't skate. He can't do shit. But he was the best ever to play in that era. You can't compare him to Connor McDavid,
True.
right? So I would say Marty Brodeur because I think he had such a high IQ and compete level, and athleticism. Like that kid was just athletic. I'd put him with another 4 inches on him.
Nice. Ed, final question for Steve before we let him
Sure.
go.
Sure, Steve. What do you like about today's hockey versus the era that you played in? And what don't you like about today's hockey and you like about the hockey that you used to play? Kind of that.
So what I their skill is insane. Like their skill is insane. They're doing shit in a game that your coach would have benched you if you tried in practice. Like legit, you're trying between the leg shit and all this. And they can pull it off. Like, don't get me wrong. Like they're skilled. I think their skill level is so impressive. I can tell you that's not the same sport I played 20 plus years ago, right? It's not the same sport. It's just not. So that part really impresses me. I mean, their fitness level, everything's the gears changed, all of that, but their overall skill is fucking impressive, right? The part I don't like, I like the old school. I like fighting. I like accountability. Yeah, no, but I like it where you were scared if you ran around, somebody was going to give you the tap on the shoulder and go, "You got two options, man. Either calm down or you're going to get pounded." So I think a lot of the respect has gone out of that because respect and fear, I think, almost went hand in hand. So that part, like I remember 2000, whatever, 2001 or whatever, we had an NHLPA meeting. And I remember it was so funny. We're in the same room. So Tyson Nash and Bergeron were Barrett, still Barrett, no, what the fuck? Who's the funny fucker that was in Montreal? Coach.
Bergevin? Bergevin?
Who's
No.
that?
Bergevin? Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bergeron. So they're on the same team in Montreal or in St. Louis at the time, right? And Mark was a funny guy, and but he was honest. And I remember we're sitting in the room and he's like, "We need to get rid of the instigator rule." He goes, "'Cause if that little fuck over there," and he points at Tyson Nash, "keeps fucking running around and never has to drop the gloves," he's like, "I'm the one that has to fucking drop the gloves for that guy." He's like, "Bring in the instigator rule." He goes, "Let us police ourselves. We'll take care of everything." And that's where I kind of feel that's what I miss from the old school. And you could go out and have a tilt and and gloves flying. And I know they say they should take fighting out of hockey. I totally disagree with that. I'm not on that camp. And I don't think you should go back to the goon thing where the guy plays 3 minutes a game and you expect the poor guy he's got to fight three times in three shifts. I don't agree with that, but I agree with the accountability. But fuck, they're so talented now, man. Like, it's not the same game. They're good.
So, Steve, I always end with this, and I ask everybody the same question. How, in one word, would you sum up your hockey career?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In one word? Disappointing?
Oh.
No, okay, so I'm gonna lay down on my couch now. We're gonna have a therapy session, but no, and I mean that. And I think if you talk to every fucking hockey player, if they're being honest, they're disappointed in their own career. We all wanted to do more, man. We did. We wanted more. I wanted to be a starter. Like we wanted more. If you do this and you actually step outside of what we did, I'm really proud of what I did. I'm a 5'9" fat kid from a small town that made it. Devil, angel, right? Like, I'm disappointed in my career. I really am. But if I objectively look back, it's like, fuck yeah, that was pretty cool. I got a lot of cool stories. I had a great time. I loved it. I'm grateful, that I got to do what I did. I think a lot of guys downplay. It took us a lot of hard work, man. Like nobody should say that it didn't. So I think you're gonna get two answers because I think there's gonna be the answer that is us, hockey, every hockey player out there, even if they made it, they're disappointed. So I'm probably going to stick by that word. They are disappointed. And then you've got the outside that's like, well, that's a bullshit answer because look at this and look at that. It's like, yep. But I bet you everybody you talked to, if they were answering honestly, didn't achieve what they actually wanted to. That being said, that's what drove us to get to where we got to, was always trying to be better and not being complacent and not being satisfied. Fuck, that's going deep. Deep thoughts with Steve Passmore.
I love it.
Saturday Night Live. There you go.
Listen, we love it. And you know who's not disappointed? This guy for having you on the show.
Well, I'm glad. You know what, guys? I appreciate it. It was fun. I think this is a fun platform when you can when you just shoot the shit with guys that like hockey, and that are fans. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the invite. You know, like I said, man, nobody's like me that ended up playing, but it's just a hockey DB. I don't even know my own stats, man. I have to fucking hockey DB myself. Thank
Listen.
God for that site. I don't know who the genius was that did that, but thank God for him. I still have to go back and look.
Listen, the only stats I ever go by is whatever hockey cards I have left. So I asked the kids to dig them up. Go grab all the Steve Passmores you can find and we'll sort through them. So you know, it's about remembering the guys that you grew up watching. So we're all around the same age. This guy's 5'9" too, so I know where you're coming from with the like-minded individuals. That's what we try to get on this show.
So you said you had Dan Lacouture on here.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so did Doc have any good stories?
You know.
Or is Dan so Lacson been through some shit
Yep.
and stuff. So I played with Doc and his nickname's Doc. And don't let him tell you anything different. So I'll tell you a funny Dan Lacouture story before I
Please
leave,
do.
because Doc and I played together in the minors. And Dan Lacouture, great kid. So funny because I played with him in the minors and that fucker didn't fight. He did what he had to do to get a career. And I tip my hat to him. But he didn't fight the minors. Like that's not how he got there. But so Dan went to BC, BU.
Be
You.
BU?
Yeah, I think
Which
so.
is not known for their academics.
No.
Correct?
No.
Correct.
Allegedly.
Correct. So we started playing with Doc and we started calling him Doc. And we'd play cards on the bus. And so we'd start playing cards and he's like, I got three pair. We're playing poker. And he's like, I got three pair. It's like, it's not a fucking thing, Doc. You use your five best cards. So we started calling him Doc, and he's like, one day we're sitting there on the bus. He's like, oh, Doc. He's like, I love that. Like, Doc Holliday. He's like, we're like, oh, dude, as in not exactly a fucking brain surgeon, man. Like that's why we call you Doc. I know you think it's a cool cowboy reference, but it's like, you ain't bright, man. Like, he's just not exactly a brain surgeon. That's why we call you Doc. And I
So,
told him that years later, and he's like, fuck. And he's a good guy. Like you guys interviewed, like he is a great man. And so it was just when I told him that, and he's just like, oh fuck. Like, that's fitting, man. That's why we called you Doc.
I talk to him on the regular on Facebook because he lives down our way, and his youth hockey program that his kids are in are the kind of in the same connection as my kids playing. So when I
So
run into
mention, I'm gonna don't preface it. Don't give them any fucking lead in. Mention my name,
Yep.
and just say I talked to Pass, and just see where that goes with him. And you're gonna have to let me know because you're gonna get a fucking giggle. You
He's
will.
a every time I talked to him, and we had him on the show, and we were going back and forth before he came on, and just fun stuff. Just the banter back and forth that we've had. I can't wait to run into him in person, just so I can hit him with some stuff. So I'm gonna add that to him when I see him.
Add that to it, and just see, just mention my name, and let it go organically from there.
What we should do is one of these weeks when get both you guys on the show and have a total fun time.
Knife to a gunfight. I'm gonna carve that kid up so bad it is not gonna be funny.
Awesome.
The poor kid would be like this, just. No,
We're
it would be fun though. But like I said, but just mention my name. He's a great human being. I appreciate everything that he's gone through and where he's at in his life right now. And couldn't happen to a better man. Like he is a great human being. But he's still funny to be the butt of a joke.
So yeah, we'll close out the show with that, and I want to say, Steve, thanks. Not the last time I'm gonna have you on, because it's hilarious. We got to get a face-off segment with two former guys, and we'll try to get some synergy going with some chirps, and we'll definitely talk off camera and try to work
Game
something
on,
out.
man. I fought a lot of guys and lost in a lot of fights, but if it's a war of words, I think I'm gonna come out on top. So
That's what we want.
absolutely. You guys let me know. Thanks for having me. I gotta go home and make dinner now, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, it's
Thanks for your time, Steve.
yeah, it's 9 o'clock here, so thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Thank you very much, you guys.
Drive safe. Thanks,
The
guys.
friend of the
Take
show,
care.
Steve
Cheers.
Passmore. Thank you so much. Thanks, Steve. What do you think?
Better than I thought.